I'm Michelle Lai Podcast.
My Michelle Live, Health Watch. She's writing a prescription for hope. Here's Michelle.
Why, thank you, big voice guy. Happy Wednesday to you. Glad you could be tuning in today. I think it's pretty important to hone in on your health, and we're going to do it by delving in a little deeper into what you're not being told about the vaccine, about some of the concerns, about some of the adverse effects, and empowering you to make that choice for yourself. I'm not against vaccines at all. I'm just for being informed, and we're not getting informed. How does that affect you? How have some of the decisions surrounding the coronavirus and even vaccines adversely affected us, our society, and how will it and how is it affecting our children? We're going to be talking with a doctor who is an expert in medical disasters, things that happen and how the medical community can respond. She has a real common sense approach and some very fascinating facts to share with you. Here's some news. Freeman is hopeful that the Pfizer vaccine will now be available for your kids as young as 12 within a couple of months. Now, Anthony Fauci, the top infectious disease specialist, said this weekend that he predicts all children will be able to receive the vaccine by the beginning of next year. And isn't that great? Because Fauci has blasted Joe Rogan, fellow podcaster, on Wednesday, today, this day that I'm broadcasting. The podcaster claimed that healthy Americans don't need a vaccine. Healthy young Americans in particular. And on the Today Show, Fauci said his logic was selfish. It was wrong-headed, because unvaccinated young people could inadvertently and innocently spread the virus to others. Now, here are some concerns, though. We listen to Fauci because he's telling us about this coronavirus. We must be afraid of this thing that we cannot see, and we take his word for it because he's enlightened. He's so smart. But there are other smart people as well who have said, you know what? When kids get it, their immune system kicks in. It's better for them. They have very little chance of getting very sick. And can they spread it? Yes, they can. But if you're someone who's deeply concerned, maybe your vaccine should be enough. And here's something else we don't know about vaccines. Those vaccines, we don't know if in some cases and with some of the vaccines that we have the ability to still spread COVID. I mean, if we didn't, shouldn't we have gotten rid of those stupid masks by now with so many people vaccinated? And why do vaccinated people have to wear a mask? Makes you think, doesn't it? The United States, by the way, has a pretty big, impressive, robust system for vaccine injury compensation. So let's get past the idea that is perpetuated all over the place that there's nothing wrong with vaccines. There's no risk. There is so much of a risk that the United States has a vaccine injury compensation put into place to help with the burdens of adverse medical consequences of vaccine. And they have paid out a lot. You can't just go in and say, hey, you know, I'm not feeling good. It's because of a vaccine. And they just hand out money. Whee! You get $100. You get $1,000. You get $1,000. You know, they're not doing that. Why? Because you have to show some kind of evidence. So work with me here. Logically work through this. Vaccines can be dangerous. Adjuvants, the things that help vaccines work even better, can be dangerous. Here's the problem, though, with COVID-19. The injury compensation from the United States is unavailable to you if you receive the COVID-19 vaccine during this public health emergency. Yeah. Speaking fact, research it yourself. Always question things. Do your own research. And it's the only way that we can get to a logical conclusion anymore. But COVID-19 vaccines during a declared public health emergency, you're not going to look at getting compensation. All potential vaccine recipients, and especially people in high-risk communities, face a problem. What's worse, getting corona or getting a vaccine and risk injury without compensation? We're so concerned about low-income people, people of color. Well, you know what? Typically, they shoulder the greatest burden during public health disasters. And now in the aftermath, can they afford to shoulder the consequences of the adverse effects of this vaccine or these vaccines? Now, most side effects of the vaccine may feel like flu. They're temporary, just like the flu is usually, and they go away within a day or two. What does that sound like? Huh? Oh, it sounds like the flu. It sounds like the coronavirus, and most people don't have those kind of side effects when they get the coronavirus. They don't really get a lot of flu symptoms, but when they do, it's temporary and it goes away within a day or two and sometimes longer. 98% of us, that's the way it is. But when you get the coronavirus, it leaves you and your immune system with a greater immunoresponse. It's almost as if we know we're designed that way. I wanted to talk about this because it's not being talked about out there, and it's creepy as heck. I mean, right? There's a thing called adversomics. It's the field of vaccine adverse event immunogenics. Okay, stay with me. While vaccines have really focused on their efficacy, you know, all those studies, here is how effective it is. Great, let's get this thing out to the public. Shoot them up. Bang, bang. The field of adversomics was first introduced in Poland in the mid-2000s. So it's relatively within 10 years. Before that, we haven't cared that much, really, about the adverse effects, as long as it's effective, right? And this adversomics studies the side effects of vaccines. Now, vaccines and their schemes don't take into account things like all of our individual differences, our uniqueness, our makeup. They look at the efficacy. So when you think about vaccines, some people, when we have everyone gets either two doses of this or one dose of this, some individuals might achieve that wonderful state that is needed, a seroconversion, with a lower number of vaccine doses. Yay! Now, others might remain unresponsive even after the standard doses because we're all different, right? But there's not a lot of research that's carried out in this manner. There's only the concern about how effective things are, as I said. Now, why does that happen? Here's why. Listen carefully. The public doesn't realize this. Actual serious side effects, which may be rare, sometimes extremely rare, and with the coronavirus vaccines, we just don't know. And we'll get to that. Oh my gosh, we're going to get to that. Side effects might be unlikely. Who knows? But they're definitely unlikely to be detected in the pre-licensing phases of vaccine testing. Why? Because the number of test subjects are just too small. The power of the study is too low. Stick with me. Pre-licensing studies can show you how effective something can be, but they can't rule out any side effects or most or even all of the side effects. Not happening. So, what's the best way to find out what those side effects are? Get a bigger number of test subjects, right? Hello, world. Let's shoot them up. More information? Are you hungry for it because you're not getting it anywhere else? Okay. According to Frontiers in Immunology, studying vaccinology, your vaccines are not that straightforward cure. You're being told that it is. Okay. Think of some of the very real issues, and these aren't hard to find. Everybody can talk about these. We just don't delve into them. Society has this expectation that they're just 100% effective. That's not the case. There's problems in maintaining the cold chain for vaccines, keeping them the right temperature. There's increasing requirements for single dose efficacy. There's a need for rapid response to global outbreaks. And there's a number of vaccine manufacturers that are very limited. There's not a whole lot of them. There's the product development time that is typically 10 years. And in this case, we just rushed it through. Current pathogens require complicated viruses. There's low efficacy of some licensed vaccines. We have problems with the aging world population that they respond poorly oftentimes to most vaccines. There's a limited number of approved and acceptable adjuvants because those things rape your body in many cases. And then we pretend like they don't. And we don't want to talk about it because vaccine's good. Vaccine good. So anything that you could say against it, that bad, that bad. Oh my gosh. There are a number of other issues that are problems with vaccines, but have you heard of vaccidents? Vaccidents. Yeah, remember that word. Post-vaccine accidents and deaths. They're being ignored. Listen, you get the vaccine, baby. It's your choice. It's your choice. Just be informed. But if we're not informing you, if we're not reporting on potential issues like vaccidents, you don't know what you don't know. So what I'm going to tell you right now, vaccidents are something that are not being talked about, but there is a big concern. So before, I'm going to give you some of the background, but I want you to be aware. Don't drive if you got the vaccine, just got the vaccine. Be mindful. Be careful. It's happening with where we're seeing an uptick in accidents. And as we're looking into it, these people involved in the accidents had just gotten their vaccines. And it's happening in places like India and Brazil, across the United States. People are noticing. And have you noticed? Think about it for just a moment. Have you noticed a sudden surge in automobile accidents? People are driving off the roads, veering into other cars, apparently losing cognitive function while behind the wheel. Think about that. Reports of unexplained neurological illness following COVID-19 vaccinations are most definitely out there. They're just not being talked about in the news or in Fauci's sermons, right? But get this, the government database shows 7,844 injuries, 181 deaths following the COVID-19 vaccine as of January 15th. So that was earlier this year. And says Children's Health Defense, the vaccine's adverse reporting system that we talked about, VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. You can look it up. Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System reported 181 deaths as well. As the same similar numbers following vaccinations. Study of this database show only 1% of all adverse events. Okay, that's saying that it's fairly low, but how many of these do we really, really know about? We know that we can overreport something. I mean, people were committing suicide and died in car accidents, and we were attributing it to COVID. People are losing cognitive ability, and we know that that is actually happening and potentially causing accidents. These are things that we should be talking about, but we're not. We should be talking about it because you may be getting your vaccination today. And then you may be getting in a car, not realizing that there may be some problems resulting. Now, these are just some news. These are just some things to think about. We're going to dig a little deeper with our next guest. This is Health Watch Wednesday. I want to share with you something that's changed my life. It's Calitrin. It is a collagen supplement and the best out there. A lot of people take it for weight loss. What it did is it helped me sleep. It helped me focus. My hair, skin, and nails were looking spectacular. Arthritis, achy joints. Man, it really is a fountain of youth in a bottle, and I could feel its effects when I stopped taking it. So I contacted them and said, hey, do you want to be an affiliate? You know, you don't have to sponsor my show. Just give me an opportunity to get the product at a special deal and to share that with my listeners. And that's what we're doing. So go to mymichellelive.com, click on the link, and learn more about Calitrin. Actions have consequences. Those consequences are consequences we are going to have to live with after all of the hoopla and decisions and vaccines and shutdowns. We have to live with those consequences. And some of those consequences we may have to live with for decades to come. That's why we need to have vibrant conversations. That's why we need to obliterate the cancel culture, and we have to be willing to listen to all sides and have a real, real conversation. Well, we are going to be doing that with my guest today, and I ask you to set aside time. If you can't listen to the whole podcast, save it, download it, listen to it later, because there is a lot of information that is pertinent to you and to your future that we will be talking today with Dr. Jane Orient. Now, she is been in the medical field for some time in many aspects. She is with with a mindset that I think helps us all to understand what's really going on in the world around us. She's editor of AAPS News, the Doctors for Disaster Preparedness Newsletter, and Civil Defense Perspectives. She's the managing editor of the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons, and she is our guest today. And by the way, this isn't on her resume, but she's really patient. We had some technical difficulties this morning, and she wrote it out with us. So on top of everything else, we're so glad to have you with us, Dr. Orient.
Well, thank you. I have technical difficulties myself, so believe me, I sympathize.
And maybe that's a little bit of what we need in this day and age, a little bit of understanding, because what we've all experienced, whether we want to admit it or not, is an inability to have conversation. But some of these conversations, as I alluded to, have dire consequences. And are we not seeing that with this corona crisis?
Oh, I think we are. And I think it is really, really frightening that we have a cancel culture and that you're not allowed to express any dissent. I mean, if you disagree with something, or even if you ask a question they consider you to be a flat earther or an anti-vaxxer or antisocial in some way, or maybe even accuse you of killing people.
And I got canceled for the first time on Facebook because I posted a news story on some of the negative consequences and deaths that have occurred from the virus. People should know so that we can make our own decisions where our bodies are concerned. But that got removed from Facebook. I was surprised. It wasn't outlandish. It was just an actual confirmed news story.
Yeah, well, that is terrible. I mean, without our freedom of expression, we are doomed. I mean, you can't even have science. Science absolutely requires people to be skeptical, to ask questions.
That's well put. I wanted to delve in a little bit. We're going to talk about the effects of corona and the future, and our children specifically. But as long as we're lingering on the vaccine, there are a lot of stories that we should be aware of, and a lot of consequences and unforeseen consequences potentially in the future when we're shooting a vaccine into our system that hasn't been tested. There was a meme, doctor, on social media of two little mice, and one mouse asked the other mouse, "Did you get vaccinated yet?" The other mouse said, "No, they're still testing it on humans."
I think this is one of the most disastrous things happening. They have skipped the animal trials. And yet with the preceding virus, coronavirus one that had maybe 10 or 20 years ago, when they tested it on ferrets, the little ferrets made antibodies and it really looked terrific until they exposed them to the virus. And then they all got really sick and died.
Oh.
And why are we not paying attention to that? There's a thing called pathogenic priming or antibody enhanced disease. It doesn't occur with all viruses or all vaccines, but with a certain set of viruses, it does. Dengue, respiratory syncytial virus, and coronavirus. So why are we ignoring this past evidence? And now what we're doing is we're starting to use our children as guinea pigs. I mean, the children, I believe that we should use vaccines when they are safe, effective, and necessary. Mm-hmm. But
absolutely.
In children, they really are not necessary. And yet they're now starting to inject 12-year-olds with these vaccines. And we've had a few really tragic cases of children getting very sick and possibly dying.
I'd like to talk about that, since we are not hearing those news stories. What do you know about some of the consequences of these vaccines in children, what we're seeing?
I think the same thing that occurs in adults, that there can be blood clots, that the spike protein that your own body manufactures is harmful, whether it's on the virus itself or whether you're making it. And what it does, I think, is not entirely well known, but it seems to make platelets aggregate, you form blood clots, and then you don't have platelets so that you both bleed or you clot. You can have clots in your brain, clots in your heart. Maybe that's what causes the COVID toes that people have been talking about. Mm. So this can have permanent, irreversible consequences, even death.
One of my concerns as well is in our state and in some other states, they're seeing an uptick in cases. And the question that is not being answered is, how many of these people have had the vaccine? How many of these hospitalizations and people being attributed with COVID are being counted as cases?
The statistics are really, really hard to interpret. I mean, what constitutes a case? Is that a PCR test that is far too sensitive and maybe a false positive in most cases? Mm. Is a death being attributed to COVID because of an infection that occurred 90 days ago? If a person dies after a vaccine, do we attribute the death to the vaccine or not? Or we just say that it's a coincidence? But there have been some really frightening statistics in some places, like in one Irish nursing home where the patients were doing fine. They had a big spike in deaths as soon as they got vaccinated against COVID. And then after the COVID, you'd expect, well, people would be well again, but the incidence of death is still higher than it was before they started vaccinating people. But all of these things, there's just a huge financial conflicts of interest out there. Billions and billions of dollars are at stake. And if people are hesitant to take these vaccines, well, that's a huge amount of money down the drain.
Yeah, and for some reason that's not putting a red light up, especially in the media, where here in the media we do have a responsibility, Dr. Orient, to challenge. As you mentioned in science works best when you have people doubting, when you have people asking those hard questions and saying, wait a minute. So does the media. The media works best when there's a narrative and they say, aha, but let's look at this side, let's look at that side. And because we are not seeing it, we are seeing more of what maybe you and I grew up with, a propaganda that we would look at being put out in socialist countries and behind the Iron Curtain and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe people believe that. And yet, here we are.
I think the media has the same problem as medical organizations, medical journals, that they are highly dependent on pharmaceutical advertising. And that the media could lose a huge amount of money if they breathe even some doubt about their main source of revenue. I think that a medical journal certainly are basically owned by financial interests.
I wanted to get to some of the things that the future holds, especially where children are concerned. You had mentioned people rushing to get their children vaccinated. We are seeing people with their babies saying, please vaccinate my babies, while there's almost no risk at all. In fact, I would even argue, though I'm not a medical physician, that exposing ourselves to things, to and those little colds that we get only boost our immune system and help us to be stronger so that we can resist more violent attacks to our immune system.
Oh, I think that is true. And we're finding out this hygiene hypothesis that the children whose mothers are constantly cleaning them or constantly not allowing them to touch anything, that these children are unhealthy. They get infections very often. They get chronic diseases that I think children need to get dirty. They need to play outside. They need to be in the sun. They need the fresh air. They need hugs. They need playmates. They need to be in contact with the real world, not with the virtual world. They probably can't even learn how to use their hands properly if all they ever do is push buttons and click mouses.
And you wonder, what will we develop into if we keep going down this road. I learned that lesson the hard way. I had a child who I sterilized. Okay, first time mom, I did that, doctor. Then someone came over to visit with a child who was, just about a week and a half older than mine. And the child was sitting there chewing on their father's shoe. And I'm going out of my mind. And then I realized my son had runny noses and earaches and, and he was this other kid, healthy as a horse. And suddenly, boom, the light went off. And that was what put me down the road to a better narrative. So much like that. And in our society, we're not learning that lesson. Fine, wash your hands. That's a good thing. It always is. But we don't want people outside. We see people in the media being demonized because they're at beaches without their masks on. These are super spreaders, when indeed, probably, that's the safest place you could be, in the sun, in the fresh air, on the beach.
Well, I'm not saying don't wash your hands.
No.
The 50th time you do it, you're an obsessive compulsive neurotic. It's very, very bad for you. And you, as a mom, you learned from an observation. Why aren't our public health people learning from these observations?
Yeah,
why are they teaching parents to be like that?
Indeed, and we are. But there is more concern that we need to take into account for our children. And I think it reaches into a myriad of areas, from the fear factor. We have made this coronavirus, when it was new and we were taking let's step back and figure this out approach. I think that was a good idea. We didn't know. Once we knew, you would think, remember back when we said we're going to flatten the curve? What happened to that curve?
Well, we flattened everything, as you said.
Yeah.
Or as some people have said.
And yet things have not changed back. So one thing that we really wanted to talk about was the next generation. Because what we're doing is going to affect what's going to be taking place in the future. We're already seeing in our nation a population decline with our children. We're already seeing that the values that we can implant in our children, they're being overtaken by other ideologies, other ideas. Our children, our next generation, have now been in a mode where they're walking in fear. They're overconnected to devices. That's the only way they can school, have social interaction, and we're making really weird health choices for them. What does the future hold, and what are some of the other issues that we are putting on our children that are going to have negative effects potentially?
Well, I think child psychologists are really, really concerned, because the children are growing up in fear. They're seeing every human being as a possible threat to them. They can't get close enough to other children to whisper or to pass notes even. And at least when we had to walk in straight lines, we were close enough that we could whisper and pass notes, and we did. That was very naughty. But anyway, children absolutely need to have contact with real human beings. And how can they function if everybody is just a threat? And everybody is surrounded by germs. We just are. That's part of being alive. And we need to develop our immune systems so that we can fight against them.
I think of that in other realms as well, in the emotional and spiritual realms. We are surrounded by trials and tribulations. We're surrounded by dangers and decisions. We're surrounded by things that can be a threat. And those very things are the things that strengthen our psyche, strengthen our spirit, help us to endure, give us the ability to overcome and be stronger in character. It makes us better people, better family members. It makes us a better nation. Also, I would say medically, we are surrounded, as you said, doctor, by germs. Those germs, even those ugly corona-looking germs that look like the Death Star from Star Wars, those things, as healthy people, as we strive to be healthy, strengthen our immune system, help us to be stronger. And I've said this every time we've talked about this. Why aren't we having a media frenzy about vitamin D, vitamin C, getting out in the sunshine, cutting out sugar, strengthening your immune system? Why are we not seeing that? I mean, they told us how to wash our hands like we were in kindergarten. Why couldn't we hear the rest of the story?
Well, that's exactly right. And there are plenty of studies to show that people who have enough vitamin D do very well, and people who are vitamin D deficient have a much higher chance of dying. But we're never going to be able to get rid of all germs. That's impossible. But what we are doing a good job of is getting rid of love, affection, joy, fun, the ability to learn, to experiment, to have contact with reality. These things we're getting rid of. And we're seeing even suicidal children, that a very high percentage of young people have, maybe a quarter of them actually thought about committing suicide. I mean, what are we doing to these children? And once they get past this time when they have the ability to learn these things, they may never be able to catch up.
And we are seeing that inability to connect does indeed have an effect not only on our children, but on those whose immune systems aren't strong, those who are hospitalized. We say, no, I'm sorry, you can't have your family members in. You can't have that human touch. Does that not have a great effect on people's ability and wherewithal to overcome the whatever it is that's plaguing their bodies?
Oh, I think so. I think that if you're going to recover, you need hope. You need connection with your family. You need to know that somebody cares. What we're doing and putting these people in hospitals, isolation, is just cruel. And it's not only brutal, but it is bad for them because the hospital doesn't have these outsiders seeing what's going on there and making sure that people are not being neglected and that they're being well treated. It's very important to have someone looking after you when you're in the hospital, to have outsiders knowing what's going on.
Yeah, I wanted to take some time since you are well-versed and you have an understanding as a doctor, and even with doctors for disaster preparedness, you know, understanding that sometimes big, bad things happen. What do we do? This, we started our conversation, I'd like to, as we wind things up, talk about what we do and how we can have conversation. We're not allowed to say, wait a minute, masks, and especially the way we're wearing them, just aren't that effective. Okay, and they're a little bit silly, and we're putting it on people who probably shouldn't be wearing a mask. People should be able to make their own decisions where vaccines are concerned. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I'm certainly an informed vaxxer. I would like to speak to that because people are feeling isolated, and they're saying, I don't feel comfortable, but I'm being bullied in this direction. Can you empower us?
I think people really need to look out for themselves and that they need to be prepared and informed. And instead, we're turning them all into helpless people who are just trying to follow directions that come down from public health authorities. And they're being given, being restricted from having the information they need and being terrorized. Like all this masking, I mean, not only does it not do any good, if you don't have coronavirus, there's no way you can give it to anybody. But the masks themselves, what are you inhaling from the masks? Children have said they feel like they're swallowing cat hair. And it turns out there are fibers in their masks that they're inhaling. Who knows what damage that does to their lungs in the long run? The men in California, recently a girl made the broke the record for the 800 meter dash face first. Because she was forced to wear a mask, exercising outside, she had oxygen deprivation. She couldn't see, she couldn't hear, planted her face across the finish line, got a concussion. Who knows what other permanent damage she may do. And that's just totally absurd for somebody to be running with a mask on outdoors.
I live in Seattle. I go out for a walk or a jog every day, and there's people running, playing softball, all with masks. You know, it's to me, it's like putting a pillow on your face. We would never do it. You know, you'd never try to suffocate someone with a pillow, right? But it feels that way. It's so difficult, and we're living in this cattywampus world, and we put very little credence in our own immune system. If we needed a mask, our body would have one. And we do. It's called our immune system. I really appreciate your candor and educating us in that such a balanced way. I wanted to ask you as my final question, though, what your main concern is as we are looking at the effects of this corona crisis.
I think our main concern is that we are going to have a lot of people dying unnecessarily. We already have had maybe hundreds of thousands of people dying because we do not treat early with well-established, safe drug remedies, that we've put all of our emphasis on. Let's get everybody vaccinated with untested, experimental, novel vaccines that have potentially devastating long-term effects.
And that is empowering. It's knowledge that we need to hear, but aren't hearing it. You have made time for us today. You've weathered my technical difficulties, and you have an important message that I think brings us back to a balanced approach to our health, our future, and our decisions. And I want to thank you very much, Dr. Orient, for your time today.
Thank you for the opportunity, Michelle.
But I'm going to ask you to like us, share us, and Dr. Orient, I hope you will come back on with us again sometime. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your courage, Michelle.
I wanted to introduce you once again to our staff writer, David Summers, who is opining on spring and the things that are growing in the garden and how that affects us as we are dealing with the corona crisis, the crises around us, lack of exchange, knowledge. What are we really growing in our spiritual and emotional gardens, David?
It's springtime. The frosty mornings are bidding an overdue goodbye, and the time to plant the gardens is nigh. This strange attraction to the fruit of the soil awakened in me some years ago, a kind of horticultural coming of age. I find it a perpetually fresh novelty to step outside for a medley of collards, beet greens, and parsley for a healthy garden fresh salad. How satisfying to put something living into your system that doesn't scream when you bite into it. At least not that you can hear. I fancy that it also helps cancel the ill effects of that vat of thick, gloppy, high cholesterol dressing. And while I'm not tempted to enter an agricultural career, my grandfather was a farmer, as were my great and great-great-grandparents. I guess you could say that farming is in my roots. And my dad had the same problem, which is why he uprooted from farm country and became an electrical engineer. In me, at least, that impulse has been watered down to a handful of vegetable gardens and a herd of cats. As for cats, have you ever tried to milk a cat? The yield is poor, the hazard's great, and there's just no market for Meowzithra cheese. I think I'll stick to tending the gardens. We're at that point in the season where the dirt is turned, the weeds are pulled, and the soil is dunged with chicken poo. Now comes that fateful decision. What crops shall we raise in these prolific beds? It's an important consideration, because nothing ever grows there accidentally, save weeds, and perhaps an occasional volunteer plant or crop that somehow survives from a prior season to make a delightfully unexpected reappearance, like the pleasant thought you'd forgotten that insists on reminding you that you didn't. How so, the mind is like a fertile field. But unlike these gardens, it requires no seasoning to sprout thoughts from seeds. Conceptual spores abound, and their fruit ranges from sweet and beneficial to frightfully poisonous. Sadly, in this sordid age, we are not taught what to plant in or uproot from our minds and hearts. In fact, it's in vogue for parents to abandon their children to the predilections of youthful madness and societal decay, and what they delude themselves to be an act of parental love and tolerance. It is, in fact, the grossest form of abdication, based on the lie that all seeds bear equally edible fruit. The rise of socialism, communism, cancel culture, and BLM Antifa domestic terrorism are the monstrous harvests of such seeds of destruction. Instead of fruited plains filled with amber waves of grain, we're raising little House of Horrors-sized Venus flytraps. The right seeds will ground an individual and a society near the source of life, whether by means of food that sustains us physically or the word that sustains us spiritually. Plant knowledge and reap insight. Plant prayer and reap power. Plant scripture into your heart and reap a godly wisdom that affords fitting words for crucial moments. Our minds are worthy of careful cultivation and a farmer's eye for discerning healthy crops from noxious weeds. What would happen if a people devoted to the teachings of the Author of Life were to scatter those seeds about the minds of friends, neighbors, and strangers? I believe we could undo the fields of death our sick culture is presently harvesting. Maybe, just maybe, that was our Lord's intention. I'm David Summers.
Some homegrown food for thought. Thank you, David Summers. And thank you for listening to My Michelle Live. Hey, you can go to My Michelle Live. You can support what we do. There's a link to donate. There are great products that we have on that can give us a kickback and you a great discount, like Real Bearded Men, Calitrin, which I told you about, Fountain of Youth in a Bottle. We have a very special product of the month, and that is a bidet that's under $50. Oh my gosh, I love having a clean tushy. So you can like us, share us, comment. Everything that you do helps us spread the God story. We'll catch you tomorrow for News and Views Thursday. I'm Michelle Mendoza.
For more fun, go to MyMichelleLive.com.